Thank you, Brother Jim, Miss Wilda. I like that song. That's a good song. I've anchored my soul. I've had good morning, by the way. Had so many people ask about, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I had so many people ask about the eclipse. And over the last 2 months, I mean, before I even knew there was one coming, people were sending me stuff asking, you know, because the world is saying the world's going to end. And so I thought I would give you something today. Let me tell you, when something like this happens, just speak, the heavens declare the glory of God. Just be glad that there's a God in heaven who, I mean, evolution couldn't do this. The sun, and there's going to come a moon that's just exactly the same, exactly, could evolution do that? The same size as the sun, put it right over the moon and cause this thing, and it's so precise that even man can figure out when it's going to happen, you see. We know, because only God could do that. And that's what he did. So when you see an event like this, instead of, because what's happening, people are not even using their Bible to understand what you know, these things. They say, oh, wait, we got this. No, we got the haven of rest for our soul. But when you see that, you know what you need to do is say, thank you, Lord. Only you could do that. I brought some of these brochures. A friend of mine wrote this a while back called The Heavens Declare the Glory of God. And he did it because there is an event that happens in New York City every... he used to be a missionary to the Jews in New York City, and there's an event that happens there when you get between two buildings or something, like every year, and thousands of people... go there to look at it, and so they pass these out to witness to people. So he sent me some, and maybe if I could get five or six guys, you can take all you want. I can get all you want. If you know somebody that this would help, take some extra. But everybody get one. You can have it and read through it. But let me tell you. Now people say, well, we got this earthquake, we got this eclipse. I mean, the world, there's a scripture everybody's using. And folks, when you see an eclipse, when you see a beautiful West Texas sky, you know, that's red out here in the west, or in the morning, sometimes it's red in the east. I mean, that, or a rainbow, that is God saying to you, I'm still here. I've still got this thing under control. That's what you ought to take comfort in things like that. That is God saying, I'm doing just what I said I would do. It's me. So enjoy it. So tomorrow at 1:30, if it's not cloudy, get some glasses. It's almost that they're selling, and go out there and enjoy it and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did. I mean, that's what you need to do with this eclipse. The heavens declare the glory of God. They're passing that out. You can turn, I'm going to show you this scripture everybody's using. You can turn to Revelation 6. We're not going to use it for the eclipse, but that's, I'll just explain it since you probably might have heard it. A lot of people are asking Revelation 6, but while you're turning, I forgot to announce, I'm going to announce something here. If I can get this. There we go. We've got somebody this week that is joining the 80-year-old club. Now, we got some members in here that are in the 90-year-old club. Yeah, we do, at least two. But we got some others that are already in the 80-year-old club, but Joe Hay has decided to also join the 80-year-old club. Amen. All right, Joey. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Now, Joe is so happy about that, he's having a party for him. No, he's not having it. I'm just... His family is having a party for him. Now, let me give you a couple things. I always say, remember, I use this too much, I know, but just so go with me on it, okay? People say there's no free lunch. Not only is there sometimes a free lunch, sometimes there's two free lunches in 1 week. And that's the week we got in front of us. Thursday is the senior lunch, and you all know about that. I'm looking around. I think everybody here would have known. So at noon over here on Thursday, we'll have a nice lunch. It's provided by the church, and one of our staff members will speak and for a few minutes. It doesn't take long. It's just come as you are. You come if you can get off work, or just come on, or any time. And 12, and we'll have a good time. That's Thursday. Saturday, also here at the church, starting at 12, is the Joe Hay birthday party. And so, God bless you, Joe. Congratulations. Because they are also providing a meal, they would like you to text or call, to say you're coming. And if you don't text or call, or you don't catch this number, you can let me know, or let Joe or Judy know. I'm going to give you this number, phone number, 806, so you remember that, 787-7050. That's Christy's number. You can text it or call it, 787-7050. If you did not get that number, I'll give it to you afterwards, or you can see Judy or Joe. 787-7050. Just to say you're coming, if they get a reasonable count, they'll have enough food and so forth. That's at noon on Saturday. So if you could be here for that, help Joe celebrate number 80. So once again, Joe, God bless you, brother. God bless you. All right, so here we go. Let's look at that verse, Revelation, that everybody is pointing out. primarily because of the earthquake and the eclipse, Revelation 6:12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now, would that only be in New York City? Probably not. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So three things happen after the sixth seal is open: the earthquake, the sun, the lights go out, you know, and the moon becomes as blood, blood moon. That happens. That's going to happen, and it's going to mean something. It's going to be a sign, but that's not going to happen until we're in the, not us, till the world is in the 70th week and the sixth seal is open. There are five seals, as you know, before that. And then this is just part of the wrath of God that will be poured out, and some signs that will be in the heavens. Genesis 1:14 said these lights in the sky are for signs, and they're for seasons, and they're for days, and they're for years. It says that. For us, the rapture happens. I'm going to show you later on in our lesson here today, a verse that you could say, well, this is actually some stuff that will happen in the last days that we are seeing now and will continue to see. But what we don't do is take a verse like this, put it completely out of the context and time period that it is prophesied to be in, and worry about something like an eclipse. As I said earlier, what we need to do is when you see those wonderful things, is say, you know what? Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and praise God that he's still in control. So we'll start it off like that, and let me just say a word of prayer, and then we'll kind of get started. Our Father, we're thankful that you're in control. We're thankful, Lord, for your wonders and the beauty that we enjoy. And Lord, we're thankful we can even gather here today in freedom and enjoy your word. And we pray in this next few moments you would help us to do just that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, there's this verse up there over there in 2 Samuel 7:23, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel. And so I'm going to talk mostly about Israel today. I did go ahead and put another verse in here. I got two or three because I want to follow up a little bit on this, signs for the last days for just a second, because of course somebody always does this. It kind of used to irritate me. Now I just laugh at it. When they said the eclipse are going to, we've had eclipses before. We have partial eclipses all the time. This is going to be like a full one. Not necessarily here. Is anybody going to Dallas or something to look at the whole thing? You know, there's, I guess all the hotels, rooms are booked up in that line that it's going to be in, but, we'll have something happen here, I guess, at about 1:30. So put on your glasses if you want to, and see. And that plus the earthquake. And of course, somebody had to stand up yesterday and say, this is climate change. Climate change. And we better, you know, they didn't say this, but I knew what they were thinking. We better print another $1 trillion and spend it. I mean, that'll solve the thing. And I just thought, since we were, because I'm just barely going to touch Genesis today, because I'm going to talk about Israel a little, for the most part. But I thought of this verse here, these couple of verses, Proverbs 3:19-20. The Lord by wisdom, by the way, we should use our, when we hear these crazy things, just ground yourself and know God gave us some wisdom and common sense, you know. By wisdom hath founded the earth. Who did it? God did it, didn't he? That's what it says. By understanding hath he established the heavens. But then it says this, by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. That's climate change. If you want to know what climate change is, right here, when the flood happened and the fountains of the deep came up and the rain came down, there was climate change right there. I mean, that was it. And that changed the world and put the world in a situation of constantly declining climate that whole way through. And I apologize for using this slide once again, but I just want to use it to make my point. So this is creation, and then when we get to Adam and Eve and the tree of life, when of course the tree of knowledge and good and evil, and Eve, and then Adam ate, it got things off track. In other words, God was going for an eternal kingdom, got them off track. And Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, and of course they had children, population increased, and all that right in here. Other than the fact that Adam and mankind had to start working by the sweat of their brow, there's no indication that the climate changed right there. It's just that they couldn't go back to the garden, and they were going to have to be in the earth, and so things were going to be different. It was, in fact, and according to the verse in Psalm, and according to the verses we read in Genesis, it was, in fact, the flood that greatly changed the way the climate would occur, and it's been going, you might say, downhill ever since. From the ark, of course, this is Mount Sinai, represents the Exodus of Israel. The cross, we celebrated Easter last week. We are located on this thing about right here, just before sometime or another. I don't know when the rapture will be, but this is the rapture. And then 7 years in heaven for the church, 7 years of tribulation for the earth, and then Jesus comes back. By the time Jesus comes back and is here for a little while, and the battle of Armageddon happens, I can show you verses on this. The earth will be hanging by a thread. Not only is it going downhill starting here, it's when Jesus comes back to this earth and establishes his kingdom, he will literally breathe life back into the earth for this last 1,000 year, for the 1,000 year reign. The end of the 1,000 years, God will separate people, right? The great white throne judgment. And then, of course, we get over here and God will establish his earthly kingdom. I want to just give you some proof of what I'm telling you today. And I get this, of course, from the Word of God as well. So, you know, the Bible tells us that Adam lived, I don't know if you can read that, but I'll tell you everything it says, that Adam lived 930 years. So this little dot right here is Adam. Seth, his son, lived 912 years right here. Noah, 950. Here's Noah out here. There were some more. This is the patriarchs. And I didn't list them all here just to make it a little bit of a simpler slide. Here's Noah. What this dip right here, anybody can guess on that? It says it up here. I don't know if you can see it. That's Enoch, because Enoch was only 365 years. He walked with God. God took him, or he would have lived that long probably. But after Noah, now these are the patriarchs. We can go. Here's Abram. Here, Abraham, a measly 175 years. Joe, you think 80's old? No, it's not. 175. Isaac, 180. Jacob, 147. Joseph, 110. Joseph, 110. Now, we got some people in this room over 90. Well, you know, in their 90s. Joseph's 110. Now, I'm not saying we got a lot of people in right now that live to 110, because that graph goes on down. But you can see the effect, the immediate effect from Noah. Do you see that? From Noah, I mean, things started dropping, didn't they? And it's because the world greatly changed there. So when somebody says, well, I don't even believe in climate change, well, you know, I'm one of the few, I do. But I do not believe man caused it. I don't believe the oil wells cause it either. I talked about that already, remember? God gave us that. I'll talk about that maybe a little more too, but God gave us that. What caused it is we're on this downward spiral in the earth, but God has given us all we need, you know, to make it and survive. If you want to be not concerned about things, turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1, quickly. We should not be worried about these, because this is all biblical. What's happening is according to God's plan. And then Paul told Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what we have as Christians. We do not have the spirit of fear. Power of God in our lives, of love, and a sound mind. Use your sound mind. God gave that to you, didn't he? Now, so what will happen in the last days? Also, we see in the book of Timothy, it's over here in 1 Timothy. Just turn back a page or two. 1 Timothy 4. If we want to know what... So we got this guy on Fox... This is from Fox News, but this... Marriage promotes white supremacy, according to the white university professor. Really? What does the Bible say about that? Does that say that's going to happen? That's, you know what? Getting rid of marriage is going to happen in the end times. Look, see what the Bible says here. 1 Timothy 4, 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some, not everybody, thank the Lord, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'm going to read some more in a second, but when he says the Spirit speaketh expressly, he's trying to say, I've got something here from the Holy Spirit that came as a pretty direct proclamation. This is not some vague thing that Paul was talking about or tried to understand or that he would come up with on his own or discern. The Spirit told him directly and clearly that in the last times, last days, people are going to depart from the faith, which we know. We're seeing that. And they're going to operate under influence of the devil and his angels. Sometimes I've heard people say, and I've even thought myself, man, I mean, you people are possessed, or you people are influenced by Satan. Well, that's what the Bible says. There's some of these things that are so outlandish. What else could it be? Speaking, verse 2, lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Do we see that today? Sometimes people, they do the thing themselves in hypocrisy. They do it themselves, but they don't want you to do it. I'm going to give you a good example of that in a second. Verse 3, forbidding to marry. What is that? This is what this is leading to. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Why do they, do you hear anybody say we shouldn't eat meat? I gave you the example, I'm not going to call the name today, I could, but I have in the past, about a guy that ran for president in the same campaign as when Joe Biden ran for president. He also ran against him for a little while. He said it was like, you can find this, like a sin to eat meat. That's what he said. And the next day he went up to Iowa to a campaign function and had a big steak. No, speaking, verse 2, lies in hypocrisy. Is that a hypocrite? You know, people used to use that verse there, verse 3, to speak of, you know, Catholic priests and stuff that couldn't marry. Folks, that is not it. That is like such a small portion of the population. That's not what it's talking about, this stuff. They do not want the family structure. And nobody's forbidding this yet. I'm just saying that's coming. Nobody is fully forbidding the eating of meat. You can hear that every day because they say the cows and all that and causing climate change. And so climate change was caused by the flood, which was caused by man's sin. It all goes back to what the Bible says. So, we're not going to worry about some eclipse. We're going to enjoy that as the presence of God. What we are going to do is stay grounded in the Word and understand that some real issues are out here, but we're not surprised about those. We don't live in fear about those. God told us they were going to happen before they would happen. So I'll give us that little introduction. I'm going to move on now to two or three more topics, and let's see how far I can get. I told you that the U.S. was abandoning, wants to, we'll see how far what happens, but abandoning Israel in the Mideast, putting that temporary pier up, which, of course, I told you this 2 weeks ago, I think, leaving Israel vulnerable to a waterway attack, and putting Turkey, who we've not had a good relationship with, but we found the report where we're going to start, you know, cozying up to Turkey and let them control the region. At first, it was probably going to be Saudi Arabia and Israel in kind of a partnership controlling things, but now we've got this situation, and that didn't happen. We know prophetically an army or two are going to come from the north. Turkey is going to clearly be involved. And so Erdogan, we have not had good relations with Turkey, but we're sealing them up, and he was coming to visit, may still, on May 9th, according to the Jerusalem Post. Well, this is from Reuters. This happened just a few days ago. You talk about an earthquake. It wasn't a real earthquake, but it was an earthquake for Erdogan, head of Turkey. He got creamed in an election. Now, he did not lose. It's complicated. He didn't really lose his his position, but it was kind of like you might say he lost the House and the Senate, and he wasn't supposed to. In other words, his influence was smashed. I mean, like a few days after all this occurred, which might give you an idea of what God thinks about some of this. Of course, he apologized. He vowed to make amends. But he clearly lost a tremendous amount of support. We will see where this goes. Now, for time's sake, let me just shift to Gaza. I'm sorry I'm moving a little bit quickly, but let me just get through this. At the UN, the U.S. wrote a resolution to call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Russia and China, there's three countries that have veto power in any UN resolution, Russia, China, and the U.S. We wrote that one. Russia and China vetoed it because they said it was not strong enough towards Israel. It needed to be stronger and have more teeth in it and so forth, so they vetoed it. That happened on March 22nd. A few days later, they wrote a very, difficult for Israel ceasefire resolution, and tougher, meaner. This is the UN Security Council. Russia and China voted for it. You know what we did instead of vetoing? We abstained and let it go. We abstained. We did not vote for it, but we could have killed it, and we abstained. That is a major signal to say we're stepping away from Israel. It signaled a major change in relations. It's very concerning. And this only happened one other time. In 2016, at the end of the Obama presidency, this thing right here, I dug this slide out from when it happened. That's dated October 31st, 2016. It came out, it leaked out that Obama was going to do something to give Israel a slap before he left. Now, remember, 2016, this is October, but it was just a few days after this when Trump won the election. And so in December of 2016, the UN Security Council, same bunch in New York, UN Security Council, they wrote a scathing resolution about Israel to stop building apartments in Judea and Samaria, clearly land. They call it the West Bank. I call it sometimes the West Bank, so we all know what we're talking about. But it's Judea and Samaria, clearly land that God gave to Israel. God said, I'm going to call the Jews home, and God is calling the Jews home. They got to have a place to live. The world doesn't want them to build in Judea and Samaria. In 2016, this is now December 2016, less than a month left in his office, the UN Security Council wrote that very difficult resolution, and we abstained there, which shocked me. It shocked me that we'd never done such a thing before. I tell you, God's not going to put up with that. And the other day, not this one, I'm going to talk about that earthquake now. That people think, no, it's the end of the world. I will tell you what I think there could be some validity to. Friday, that same UN Security Council was meeting, criticizing Israel, and sure enough, that earthquake, which doesn't happen in New York very often, shook that meeting room while they were meeting. Now that I'm going to go for right there. I think, I'm going to just say this. The Bible says, I'm going to bless them that bless thee, of Israel. Of Israel, I'm going to curse them that curse thee. Let me just ask you, so the UN, this is a UN also, the UN Human Rights Council, they call for an embargo to stop sending weapons to Israel. Let me just quote the Bible. It says, God is not mocked. If God says, I'm going to curse them that curse Israel, that's what he's going to do. God is not mocked. Now, he may not do it immediately. God usually does not do things. If I get out of his will, God does not usually give me a whooping for a little while. He gives me, what does he do? He's gracious, he's long-suffering, he gives us space to repent, doesn't he? But even for us, God is not mocked. I'd better find myself back over here in his will if I know what's good for me, or God will discipline me like he does his children. No, that's what he says. God is not mocked. And when he says, I'm not going to put up with people that curse, this is why I'm worried. If you want to know what I'm worried about, it's not the eclipse. It's about this nation and how we're acting toward Israel, because God is not mocked. And that's what the Bible says. And we've seen evidence of these kinds of things, and this could happen. So I hope you're praying for Israel. I know it's hard, but we are commanded to pray for our leaders. We have to do that. Folks, if nothing else, that they make good decisions toward Israel. That's what we need to do. And for our own nation. Let me just keep going. For the captives that are still over there, they released another dead body, one of the captives, a day or two ago. Let's move to the north. let me go to this slide first. So I'm talking about now, so this is the Gaza Strip, but let's talk about the north. This whole area up here in Israel has been vacated, just like the Gaza Strip. You don't hear a lot about it, but people, because the news doesn't want to cover things, but Israel's also suffering in the north. They had to move everybody out of the north because of the rockets coming down from Lebanon. It's really Hezbollah up here that is a one of the armies of Iran, and they're raining down those rockets upon Israel, and Israel's fighting back, and Israel has moved everybody out, and they're just about to, and they're fighting back, and they're just about to declare war. If that happens, this is going to be a major thing. It could happen at any time. As part of that, Israel so Iran has a big fancy embassy there, and they have a bunch of their leaders in there, and Israel destroyed that embassy and killed a bunch of their leaders, including one general, several commanders, and so forth. Iran so this is that first slide I said. How might Iran seek to hurt Israel after the general's killing? That's from the BBC. That's really the question. And Iran has said, yes, we are about to do something any day now. And what they have said, or what I've heard that they've said, is we're going to do it before the end of Ramadan, which would be next Friday. So the world is bracing for that, Iran, this is from Bloomberg, tells the U.S. to step aside as it gets ready to attack Israel. Normally, in the old days, if Iran had told us to step aside so they could attack Israel, we would have said, buddy, you're going to have to come through me first if you're going to get to Israel. That's what we should say now. Instead, you know what we told them? Now, this is from the Jerusalem Post. We told them, look, just don't hit any of our stuff. That's what we told them. Don't hit any of our stuff. Essentially giving them approval to do that. So last Friday, so today's Sunday, 2 days ago, Israel closed 28 of their embassies around the world because of the Iranian threat on them. We do not know how this is going to go, but it's going to break loose. Now, Hezbollah, who has been firing these rockets, Israel fighting back, Israel has moved a lot of its forces to the north. It looks like war. And Hezbollah knows that Hamas in the south has been greatly decimated already. They are worried that they are going to meet the same fate, and they are already talking about, you know, I don't know if we want to go into full-scale war. I mean, they don't really want to do that as much as they'd like to just set fire to the rockets and shoot them. You know, they don't really. And so, you know, Seth Franzman is a pretty good analyst that you can follow. And he also is not so sure there's going to be a full-scale war, not because of Israel, but because Hezbollah is beginning to wonder if it's going to be worth it if they're all going to be killed. There's even some people in Iran that are saying, you know, if we lose Hamas and we lose the Houthis down there in the Red Sea, because the world's not going to let that go on forever, and you lose Hezbollah up in the north, we've lost all of our proxy armies out here. And so are we sure we want to do that? So there's some question. Nevertheless, nevertheless, we're going to wait and see what Iran's response will be. There will be some response because they've said too much. The question is, what is it going to be, how much, and so forth. So I hope you are praying for Israel. Back to Gaza. Sorry to go back and forth, but it's kind of the way things are happening. So there's this humanitarian group called the World Central Kitchen. You may have heard about this. There's a celebrity chef named Jose Andreas. You may have heard of him if you follow the, you know, some of that. He's in the U.S. And he's in Washington. He knows everybody in Washington. He knows Biden. He's, you know, one of the, I mean, just, he knows. So he, you know, wealthy. And so he's got this World Central Kitchen as well, which is a humanitarian group. The World Central Kitchen is over there helping Israel to feed the Palestinians. Israel gets no credit for all the, they provide energy and food to the Palestinians. Who they're trying to get after is Hamas. But the world won't recognize that, and they think they're just, you know. And one of the groups of Israel soldiers made a mistake, and next thing you know, seven of these aid workers from the World Central Kitchen are killed. And you wonder, why did Biden make such a big deal about it, and called Netanyahu and so forth? It's because he knows him and because the guy's a celebrity chef. Jose was not killed. It's some of the seven of the workers, but it's his group. And so Biden called and gave him the ultimatum. You've got to change your policy in Gaza or we will. Even Blinken said that Israel is, you know, risk being indistinguishable from Hamas. I mean, that he's a Jew, by the way. He owes Israel an apology for saying that. Hamas, I could tell you some things that they did in that attack that would ruin the rest of your day. And maybe you know, but I told some of you a time or two. There's a lot of times I'm up here and I am filtering more things than you can imagine. I'd like to say, but I don't think it's quite appropriate from here, so I won't. But to compare Israel to Hamas, you know, is just unthinkable. And, you know, it's war and some things happen and they regret it. Israel regrets it. Some things happen, but so just to pour on a little more, any Jewish, there is some good, some stuff that is produced in Judea and Samaria. And it shipped over here and shipped in other places. And U.S. is going to label those, this came from the occupied West Bank by Jews, so people won't buy it. Now, U.S. is doing that. This is from the Financial Times. Can you imagine? Do you think God's not going to retaliate for some of this? We also, of course, we're in cahoots. We're discussing things with Iran. This is about the Houthi Red Sea attacks, and we're discussing that indirectly, but we're discussing it. So we're meeting with representatives of Iran. We're meeting with Turkey instead of people. How is Hamas reacting to this? This is just a few days ago. Several reports about that. I mean, Hamas is overjoyed, and Iran is overjoyed, happy, delighted in the ceasefire call and the no vote, and they believe it's a turning point in the war. In fact, as of this morning, because I'm watching it kind of pretty regular about because of the Iran attack, and in fact, because of the tremendous worldwide pressure. You will probably read today and see where the IDF forces have pulled back out of the south. Now, they have not pulled out of Gaza, but they pulled out of that sensitive region that everybody is complaining about. Now, they've still got the blockade there, and they've separated the south from the north in Gaza, but there has been a structural change. It probably does, and of course, they're happy about that, too. Probably does not represent a strategic change, but is more of a tactical change. So we will see. But that was Israel's response. 40 Democrats. I'm just sorry to say it, but signed this letter over to Biden saying we got to stop sending arms to Israel. This is reported by The Guardian. Nancy Pelosi, the Squad, Bernie Sanders, AOC, all that, a bunch. And so, you know, they're all worried about, because it's an election year, they're worried about losing Michigan. Just get it right down to it. A lot of Muslims live there, and they're worried. That's why all this is happening. So they're taking out on Israel. A couple of reports were shockers, though, this week. So this is the New York Times article on all this stuff. And John Fetterman, of all people, is saying, hey, no conditions for Israel. The guy is 100% behind Israel here. And even fighting, even will argue on Twitter against other Democrats. And it's pretty surprising how much he's standing up supporting Israel. Do you remember Chris Cuomo? There was a network called CNN. I don't know if it's still on or not. I guess it is. I don't watch it. Hardly anybody else watches it, but he was on there, you know. He even slammed Biden for playing politics with Israel, treating the Hamas-held hostages like an afterthought, which is what is true because the hostages you never hear about. Some Americans, by the way, and you never hear about that. Even he. And this was an article, and this was an opinion piece, but it was in Newsweek. Hamas owns every death in Gaza, civilians included. And just in the time I have left, I just want to show three slides, and maybe I can be done here. I want to just shift to Haiti for 1 second. 11.5 million people there, 11.5 million people. Haiti's been a disaster, as you know, for years. 5 million, 2.5 times the size of God, 5 million out of that 11.5 are going to starve if something doesn't happen because of the gangs that have taken over Haiti. And we're not doing, I mean, do you hear about that? Do you hear about somebody getting up and caught 40 people signing a letter, we got to do something, you know, why? Because Haiti's not going to affect our election. All the Haitians come into Florida. You know, I'm telling you, we're messed up. You can find this. I pulled this off myself. You can find this online. The UN estimates the average death. Look, war is horrible. War is horrible. Civilians die. I'm not I think that's horrible. On the average, every time there's a war, 3 civilians die to every soldier. So if you go in to a country, declare a war, 3 civilians on average die. Sometimes it's more than that, but on average, according to the UN, 3, which can we trust them? I don't know, but I'm going to show you something else in a second. 3 civilians to every soldier. So if 4 people are killed in the war, 3 are civilians, 1 is the other side's soldier, on the average. How is Israel doing in Gaza? You know how Israel's doing in Gaza? It's 2-1. No, it's better than average. They're taking so much, look, and that's, nobody wants anybody to die. You know that. But they're taking so much careful care, Israel is, that they are there are less civilian deaths than in the average war. That's, you don't hear anything about that, do you? Last slide. Pray for Israel. I hope you're doing that. Remember 2 Samuel 7:23. What one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel. By the way, the church was not in view when David wrote that. You can go back in 2 Samuel. It's his words, really. The church was not in view at that time. But men, did you care about your bride, before when she was your fiance? Yes, absolutely. Do you think the Lord cares about the fiance, the Lord's bride? Yes, He does. The Lord cares. We're the church is not Israel. We're not replacing Israel. There's Israel and there's a church. 2 things. God can deal with more than one thing. There's 2 things. God cares about His people, Israel, and the church. So pray for the church. Pray for Israel.